But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the firing of Stephen Colbert. Move on to all the latest Epstein files tea, and follow all of that up with the GOP's plan to rig the midterm elections. Let's begin, shall we? Well, it looks like we're at the part of this hostile government takeover where Kenkel's McDonald is deciding what late-night programming is appropriate for Americans.
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert ending next year with CBS retiring the late-night franchise.
Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May. Not just the end of our show, but it's the end of The Late Show on CBS. I'm not being replaced. This is all just going away.
CBS said the decision was purely financial, quote, against a challenging backdrop in late night. It is not related in any way to the show's performance, content, or other matters happening at Paramount.
Stephen Colbert is the highest rated program in late night television. He beats his competitors. He's been going at it for 10 years, and frankly, he's been on a hot streak lately. So by the business logic of television, normally he would be in a very safe spot.
This week, The Late Show was nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Talk Show for the sixth time.
And did you know that makes 34 Emmy nominations in 10 years for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert? And not once has the Academy given Steve his due. Although, this might be their year since they've got the whole, we got fired because Steve hurt Donald's little feelings going for them. For empathetic purposes, of course. And another thing, would someone please tell me why the fuck is Eric Stad suddenly in charge of how 57-year-old news shows edit their content or the jokes late-night hosts tell?
Did Donald Trump get Stephen Colbert's show canceled? Now, this is all really interesting timing because this is coming just a few days after Colbert was really, really vocal about the fact that CBS had settled with Donald Trump for $16 million over that lawsuit concerning 60 Minutes.
And all the pressure, perhaps, from the Trump administration felt by Sherry Redstone, who runs Paramount as she seeks a FCC-approved merger with Skydance.
And whose approval do they need for the merger? President Trump. And Colbert has been really vocal when it comes to Trump over his presidency.
President Trump has also reacted to the news. He wrote on Truth Social Friday morning, "I absolutely love that Colbert got fired. His talent was even less than his ratings. I hear Jimmy Kimmel is next. Has even less talent than Colbert. Greg Gutfeld is better than all of them combined, including the moron on NBC who ruined the once great Tonight Show."
Of course, Trump later said that there were other terms on top of the $16 million. He referenced getting public service announcements from CBS, for example. But this means one of the staunchest Trump critics on television will be leaving.
Because that's the point. Colbert has been making fun of Republicans for over two decades, starting back in the long ago time of 2005 when the Colbert Report first aired on Comedy Central. A show, by the way, that perfectly made fun of conservative cucks that now make up the MAGA cult by pretending to be one of them. Colbert replaced that persona when he was chosen to host Late Night on CBS in 2015 with his own wholesome way of ripping Fat Nixon and his merry band of congressional troglodytes, a new one every night, at least five nights a week. And this went on for 10 years until Paramount, who owns CBS and Comedy Central, decided to become one with the Skydance. Or as Colbert explained on his show just 3 days before he was fired.
"My mustache comes to you with a heavy heart because while I was on vacation, my parent corporation, Paramount, paid Donald Trump a $16 million settlement over his 60 Minutes lawsuit. As someone who has always been a proud employee of this network, I am offended. And I don't know if anything will ever repair my trust in this company. But just taking a stab at it, I'd say $16 million would help. This settlement is for a nuisance lawsuit Trump filed claiming that 60 Minutes deceptively edited their interview with then-candidate Kamala Harris last fall. Paramount knows they could have easily fought it because, in their own words, the lawsuit was completely without merit. Unlike the payoffs from ABC and Twitter, Paramount's settlement did not include an apology. Instead, that's good. Instead, the corporation released a statement where they said, "You may take our money, but you will never take our dignity. You may, however, purchase our dignity for the low, low price of $16 million. We need the cash." Now, I believe this kind of complicated financial settlement with a sitting government official has a technical name in legal circles. It's big fat bribe. Because this all comes as Paramount's owners are trying to get the Trump administration to approve the sale of our network to a new owner, Skydance. And some of the TV typers out there are blogging that once Skydance gets CBS, the new owner's desire to please Trump could put pressure on late-night host and frequent Trump critic Stephen Colbert.
Well, it turns out the TV typers were Nostra-fucking-domus, knowing what we know now. And apparently, the Writers Guild is onto Rumpelthinskin because they've asked the New York Attorney General to investigate Colbert's firing and the Late Show's cancellation because it's giving big fat bribe. And let me just take a moment to point out that The Late Show with Stephen Colbert isn't ending today or tomorrow, but at the end of the season, which is May of 2026, just before midterm election season starts. Perhaps to avoid the embarrassment of having Colbert hilariously remind everyone of how Republicans they might be considering voting back into Congress just took healthcare away from 17 million Americans. Or the retelling of when the American Fascist Party on Capitol Hill voted to keep from voting on the release of the Epstein files.
The Republican-controlled House Rules Committee has just voted to block the release of the Epstein files.
I introduced today an amendment demanding the full release of the Epstein files. The Speaker's Rules Committee should demand a vote of every member of Congress. Yes, we should release it, or no, we should not. This is a question of whose side are you on?
There are only two things that are possible here. Option one, Donald Trump, Pam Bondi, intentionally lied to the American people for years about the Jeffrey Epstein situation. Option two is that, in fact, actively engaging in a cover-up.
The current DOJ under Pam Bondi is covering up crimes.
Obviously, the intelligence community is trying to cover it up.
People are absolutely not going to accept just a memo that was written that says there is no client list.
Who's on those tapes? Who's in those black books?
Seriously, we need to release the Epstein list. That is an important thing.
It's almost like they're trying to protect those pedophiles for some reason. I can't imagine why.
Because to me, the obvious reason why they don't want to release the client list is because he's on it.
Fuck yeah, the Floridian fondler is on the Epstein files, which is why every Republican, including the Paleolithic nightmare from Georgia, voted against voting to release them. Mad Dog Gangrene told the press absolute bullshit about procedural crap, giving Dems more congressional power, being the real reason why she voted down Ro Khanna's amendment to release the files. But then the bad built butch bitch voted again no on a standalone bill forcing the release of the Epstein files. So there's that.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Meanwhile, everything is falling apart in Drumpland as the cult members seem to be coming out of their roofie-induced slumber over their dear leader's refusal to just give them the Epstein files. For example, and for the first time in 10 years, none of Girth Vader's distractions meant to change the narrative have been working. Roll tape.
The new tariffs slapped on Europe and Mexico. President Trump today announcing new tariff letters dispatched to members of the European Union, imposing a 30% tariff on imports. That starts August 1st.
By the way, are two of the biggest trading partners of the United States.
We are very unhappy, I am, with Russia. And we're going to be doing very severe tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days. Tariffs at about 100%. You'd call them secondary tariffs.
Why are you giving 50 more days?
I think the Well, I think it's a very short period of time. I think they'll forget.
President Trump has ignited a new war with Rosie O'Donnell. He says he's thinking of revoking her U.S. citizenship.
The president taking to his social media platform to write in part, quote, I'm giving serious consideration to taking away her citizenship. She's a threat to humanity and should remain in the wonderful country of Ireland if they want her.
I don't know about Rosie. I watch Rosie. Rosie's a mess. She's a mess. But she left our country, which is a good thing, not a bad thing.
The lengths this lumbering lardass will go just to change the subject. Pervert Hoover tried a round of tariffs, threatening his favorite Russian dictator, complaining about a comedian who left the United States for Ireland back in January. But my favorite failed distraction of the week was when old Yamtits said Coca-Cola was replacing their corn syrup-based sweetener with cane sugar because...
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
Because not only did Coca-Cola make a public statement saying that is not happening, the Corn Refiners Association, on behalf of American corn farmers, lost their shit, telling the press that this would financially ruin corn farms by reallocating those profits to imported sugar, causing thousands of farm employees to be out of work. And the kicker, there is no nutritional benefit to replacing corn syrup with cane sugar. All it does is make the soda taste exactly like Mexican Coke and put untold millions into the pocket of the Mar-a-Lardo's Floridian neighbor who just so happens to be a sugar import baron. But I digress. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
How many of you are satisfied with the results of the Epstein investigation? Clap. How many of you are not satisfied with the results of the investigation?
Make some noise if you care about the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Everybody cares.
A conspiracy theory about a dead sex criminal now threatens to do it a violent insurrection, 34 felony convictions, calling U.S. soldiers, quote, losers and suckers, and a litany of broken promises from the economy to foreign policy could not drive a wedge of fury and betrayal between the MAGA political movement and its dear leader, Donald Trump.
President Trump tried to calm the storm with a lengthy statement saying, in part, what's going on with my boys and in some cases gals? They're all going after Attorney General Pam Bondi, who is doing a fantastic job. We're on one team, MAGA, and I don't like what's happening. Let's not waste time and energy on Jeffrey Epstein, somebody that nobody cares about.
We have a perfect administration, the talk of the world, and selfish people are trying to hurt it, all over a guy who never dies, Jeffrey Epstein. Trump then goes on to write 334 more words trying to depict the Epstein files as the work of, in his world, radical left lunatics.
It's almost like the Justice Department doesn't want us talking about Jeffrey Epstein anymore.
This list and that it was going to implicate powerful people, powerful institutions, largely on the left, the Clintons, perhaps the Obamas, others, and they would all go down for it.
By admitting that the Epstein files are real and have been written and that you've read them and you don't like their contents and they were written by your enemies, it doesn't make the most compelling case. Holy moly.
It looks like it's going to be, and now this is like the who's going to be off the island first, right? This is like this is, who's going to be voted off the island first.
Well, you've always got my vote, Laura Ingraham, I promise. But in the meantime, this demand for the Epstein files is not going away. No matter how many times Taco Trump calls his supporters stupid idiots who fell for the bullshit list that was on Pam Bondi's desk until it wasn't, because years ago, the Dems didn't want to do anything about Epstein when they had the list. Never mind the fact that Epstein was arrested and died during Trash Can Don's first occupation of the White House, or that the Treasury Department is harboring deets on 4,725 wire transfers totaling nearly $1.1 billion going into just one of Epstein's bank accounts. sounds to me like there's at least 4,000 plus things that Karen running the DOJ could investigate. But what do I know? This is about transparency and getting the truth out. Things Pick Me Bondi will get right to after she clears the way for no one to question her authority. For starters, she fired the top ethics attorney at the DOJ because who needs oversight at a time like this? And then Pammy did this.
New tonight, three sources confirming to NBC News that Maureen Comey, a prominent SDNY prosecutor and daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, was fired today.
A prosecutor who worked on Epstein's case.
There's a lot of questions today around the timing of her firing.
I mean, once again, this looks like a giant cover-up on the Epstein files. But what about the timing of this? It seems that everything that Trump is doing is focused on making sure that anyone that is trying to actually prosecute this case and tell the American people what happened here is being fired.
Democratic Senator Dick Durbin has sent a letter to the FBI revealing that FBI agents were told to flag mentions of Donald Trump in the Epstein records that they were collecting.
Well, we received information that Attorney General Bondi pressured the FBI to assign, now get this, approximately 1,000 agents in its information management division and hundreds of additional agents from the New York field office to work 24-hour shifts to review and produce more documents on Epstein on an arbitrarily short deadline. These officials were told to, quote, flag any records in which President Trump was mentioned. What is in that file that is so dangerous they don't want to release it?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps a few Sharpie doodles of naked women or imaginary convos between Von Schützenpants and Epstein reminiscing over their 100th visit to Epstein's Island. You know, that beautiful secret the Wall Street Journal just reported on and the Big Lebowski is now suing them and Rupert Murdoch over. And another thing, releasing the grand jury testimony on Epstein is not going to satiate the taco toddler's base for one good reason. Grand jury testimony will not reveal who Epstein's clients were. And that's the only thing maggots and basically anyone else for shits and giggles wants to see at this point. Because even the poorly educated are starting to see, Don's not like us.
Psst, I see mad people.
Hey, catch up on the wall, yo. Hey, catch up on the wall, yo. Bonnie says they're on the desk, where did they go? Pam down in the shredder room, that's what we know. Your story has more holes than your course at Mar-a-Lago. What's up with these lame excuses blaming Obama? Your whole party hates you, your hat, and your mama. How many names you got? What cat got your tongue? You forget your BFF, Jeff, who likes him young. Cover your ass and hide the files that you took. Come on, Donnie boy, let's take a look. Can we take a peek in that little black book? Can't cover up a cover up, it really makes you think. Redact all you want, boy, you running out of ink. Say Trump, I hear you like I'm young. So did, what? Cat got your tongue? You thought the story ended, now that old Jeff's dead. Better pray a prison cell has a tan in bed. You know the best words are best, people, everything the best. So spill the tea on your besties from the Lolita Express. Not the only politics with freak and freak off miles. Certified cover up, certified Epstein files. Wop, 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 wop. Trump really sucks. Wop, 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 wop. I'ma do my stuff. You know Epstein was the plan's designer. Bet your Trump's in the files in bed with a minor. Trump not like us, Trump not like us, Trump not like us. Trump not like us, Trump not like us, Trump not like us. Trump not like us, Trump not like us, Trump not like us. Trump not like us, Trump not like us, Trump not like us.
And while we're on the subject of how fucked up is fucked up, midterms are right around the corner, and don't think for a second Republicans aren't freaking out over having to look for a new job after the shit they've pulled since January. First off, county clerks in Colorado have been asked by the Trump regime to let them and some of their unnamed friends take a look at their voting machines and copies of their voting rolls in the name of election fraud. to which Colorado said the fuck you are, while nine other must have been red states just handed over their voter data to the tiny-handed election fraudster. Oh, and let's not forget about the multi-state gerrymandering scheme that's got orange all over Texas, for starters.
25 of Texas's 38 congressional seats are held by the GOP, and the president wants more.
Which state besides Texas would you like Republicans to redraw the congressional?
Well, there's about four of them. I'll let you figure that one out, but we have about four of them. In three cases, it's one, and in one case, it's two or three. And Texas would be five.
There could be some other states, and
so
that'll
you,
be five.
Are you calling in for a complete redrawing of the congressional map ahead
of
next year?
No, just a very simple redrawing. We pick up five seats.
It's expected Republicans will seek to trim around the edges of heavily Republican districts around Austin, Dallas, and Houston, and move Republican areas into neighboring districts held by Democrats in hopes of making them more competitive.
Isn't that astounding? I mean, it is pure political power grab.
The decision that could be made in the state of Texas could make it harder for Democrats to retake the House in November.
So now the Republican-led Texas legislature is doing something almost unheard of. They're trying to redraw the map in the middle of the decade.
It's a mistake to look at this on a state-by-state basis and act as if any rigging of congressional electoral districts only impact the voters in that state. Congress is a body that operates and passes laws on behalf of the entire country.
The argument has really come out of the White House, and it's, as far as we can tell, it's being driven by President Trump and his advisors about losing seats in next year's midterms and looking around the country at where could they pick up seats in the House to try and blunt Democratic gains and maybe possibly hold on to control there. Because the president is concerned about what a Democratic House would mean for the rest of his presidency and possible investigation.
Duh. This guy is the same guy who had that dipshit from South Africa rig the last election so he could avoid jail time for 34 felony charges in New York State. Not to mention dodging federal cases involving his insurrection back on January 6th. And redecorating his Florida retirement home with classified documents he stole on his way out of the office for the first time. And now, with this bromance with Epstein all over the news and social media, Shitler cannot afford to just let the American public vote out his minions in Congress. So he and the Republicans have gone back to their roots, deciding to rig the midterms in the old-fashioned way with some good old gerrymandering. In Texas, Jasmine Crockett, Greg Saar, and Al Green seats are up for the GOP to grab, something Diaper Don would love to see happen, especially with all the good reasons the GOP should be voted out of office at every level, such as defunding FEMA, something Texans should be livid over, refusing to disperse congressionally appropriated funding for education, and did I mention hiding the Epstein client list that was on Pammy's desk but suddenly disappeared because so many years ago Obama and Hillary Clinton didn't release it. And oh, let's not forget about Florida's crocodile concentration camp.
Tonight, the ice skaters are officially on patrol. Alligator Alcatraz is open for detention. And the first batch of bad hombres are checking into their swamp suites. Democrats, they're not giving the Gator Gulag a chance.
This place needs to be shut the hell down. This place is a stunt, and they're abusing human beings here. They are essentially packed into cages, wall-to-wall humans, 32 detainees per cage.
What we saw in there is very simple. We saw humans being held in cages.
Through the intake area, where we began to see many of the detainees that were sitting down on a bench, shackled by their hands and shackled will have chains on their stomachs. It was 81 degrees at the place where we were standing, knowing that inside it was probably even hotter. How do I know? Because there was individuals that were sweating and they had their shirt off while they chanted "Libertad."
Well, I've been there and I've seen these rooms that they are in.
I wouldn't call them jail cells. I would call them a facility where they are held and that are secure facilities, but are held to the highest levels of what the federal government requires for detention.
Well, then, I hate to break it to Puppy Killer Gnome, but the federal government doesn't have any standards if this is the type of internment camp that HR approved. Because while subjecting adults to hotter-than-hell environments with maggot-filled food served once a day, using toilet water to brush your teeth and drink from, and the possibility of showering maybe once a week, that's all disgusting and inhumane. The Department of This Homeland Sucks said, hold my white claw. And honestly, I didn't think this facility built on sand and mud could sink any lower, but here we are. Amongst the innocent people being held in cages in the Florida Everglades is a 15-year-old boy who's been there since July 1st. This kid was a passenger in a car that was unluckily pulled over by Florida Highway Patrol during a traffic stop because he was taken by the cops, who quickly turned him over to DHS Frozen Gestapo, who then put the kid on a plane headed to Florida. And that's how a 15-year-old kid ended up at the Gator Gulag for 3 days. Unless, of course, you ask the assholes at the unironically named Florida Division of Emergency Management, who told the Miami Herald that kid, the 15-year-old kid, was at Alligator Auschwitz because he, and I quote, lied about his age when officers stopped him. Seriously, the U.S. government, in conjunction with the Florida State Highway Patrol, kidnapped and disappeared a 15-year-old boy to a concentration camp because he lied about his age. But if you think that is as low as the Trump regime will go, you're going to need to sit down for this next clip.
A lawsuit filed this week alleges the Department of Homeland Security is colluding with the Justice Department to intentionally strip people of basic due process rights.
The new lawsuit filed by a coalition of immigrant legal rights organizations accuses the Trump administration of unlawfully arresting people at immigration courthouses with the intent to quickly deport them, violating their due process rights. The lawsuit lays out what it claims is one of many ways DHS has attempted to ramp up immigration arrests after the White House demanded 3,000 arrests per day on May 21st. Days after that quota mandate, this email shows the DOJ's Executive Office for Immigration Review instructed immigration judges that attorneys for the DHS would be moving to dismiss cases to meet demands of an increasing workload. And at the same time, DHS would be conducting enforcement at the courts.
We were given guidance that when the department files these motions, we should not give the 10 days for a response. We should adjudicate them right on the spot. The dismissals were being granted and the response were being let out in handcuffs.
I think it's inappropriate to be telling a judge how to rule in any particular case. That's not supposed to happen. I mean, we're supposed, as an immigration judge, we're supposed to be independent.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin weighing in on and what he said were instructions from the administration for immigration judges not to speak to elected officials.
I think this kind of pressure on people who are making those decisions to not even open the door for a member of Congress to observe a public event is shameful. And it tells you that something's going on there that they're embarrassed about.
Now, in response to the lawsuit, Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security Tricia McLaughlin said in part, quote, "We are in some medieval kingdom. There are no legal sanctuaries where you can hide and avoid the consequences for breaking the law. The ability of law enforcement to make arrests of criminal illegal aliens in courthouses is common sense. It conserves valuable law enforcement resources because they already know where a target will be."
And I want to remind Assistant DHS Schmuckretary Tricia McCheetolips that being undocumented is a civil offense, like getting a speeding ticket, not a criminal one. I'm really sorry the University of Maryland didn't teach you about the difference between civil and criminal offenses, and your boss at the DOJ isn't qualified to train you, but honestly, in this day and age, there's Google, and I suggest you try it sometime. And while no one should ever hold their breath for Trisha's enlightenment, it's important to keep in mind that the grandson of an illegal immigrant who's married to an immigrant nudie model who lied to U.S. immigration in order to get an Einstein visa, stayed in this country past her fraud visa's expiration date, and only became a U.S. citizen nearly a year after having an anchor baby to ensure she stayed in this country. And all before she became the first embarrassment back in 2016.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
Meanwhile, people not married to a broke-ass billionaire who legit came to this country seeking asylum have gone through all the right ways possible, filling out paperwork with immigration and going to check-ins and court hearings, are having their cases dismissed by the direction of Crackpot Gnome, so they walk out of that courtroom in violation of U.S. law, giving the Department of This Homeland Sucks justification for having masked bounty hunters who get reportedly 1,500 per capture waiting outside the courtroom with zip ties. No judicial warrant needed because Trump's regime closed the asylum seeker's case at that hearing, and the judge said, "Oh well, nothing to see here," to a person who did everything that they were supposed to do, only to find out, thanks to 77.3 million assholes in this country, it does not matter if they seek legal migration into the United States, because the 79-year-old cankle running this country put a lonely vibrator called Stephen Miller in charge of advising Fraulein Gnome on how Nazi Germany he wants immigration to get. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms such as Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. We're available always for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.